for Signature Homes and City to Serve Solar, the fifth quarter.
So this will be the Cats' biggest loss of season 2019 and their worst performance here at the G since last year's elimination final. They'll go forward from the bounce, but it'll mean nothing. The Hawks will try and get inside 50. It was palmed away by Brewster Shields. And in game 200 for Liam Shields, the Hawks get a famous victory to keep their season alive, and the Cats have got some questions hanging over them and their credentials when it comes to September. Hawthorn win it by 24 points.
We love our club and we play to win, riding the pumps with a grin at Hawthorn. Come what may, you'll find us thriving. Teamwork is the thing that talks.
And 36 people. That is Geelong suffering their fourth loss of the season, and they now only have a one-game gap at the top of the ladder. They do have a handy percentage buffer, which makes it the best of two, but they do have five rounds to play, and nothing is guaranteed in this AFL world. 8-13-61, Hawthorn 12-13-85. Hawthorn fans, enjoy the song one more time.
We're a happy team at Hawthorn.
Hopefully tap into some of the post-game interviews on the ground. I think we can. Liam Shields speaking with Cam Mooney.
What about down forward for you guys, Liam? These young guys are starting to come together. O'Brien was really fantastic today, but Mitchell Lewis just looks like this kid's growing and growing week in and week out.
Yeah, absolutely. Really proud of the young boys. I mean, Ollie Hanrahan, he's played four games. He's terrific today. Mitchell Lewis, Connor Nash, all these guys are playing their role and more. So, yeah, really proud of them.
200 games, mate. You've had an outstanding career. Hope you keep going more, mate.
Thanks.
Liam Shields speaking there with Cam Mooney. Fifth quarter, thanks to Signature Homes and City to Surf Solar. We've posed the question on Twitter at KROC Football using the hashtag AFL Cats Hawks just for your thoughts this afternoon. We also want them on the phone, 52232955. Of course, we do have to give away a KFC Family Burger Box to our best caller to the value of $26.95 on your way home from the game. Swing into one of KFC's seven locations around Geelong and the Surf Coast. And Jake O'Meara speaking with Kelly Underwood.
What was that experience like the last 2 hours here?
Yeah, amazing. These games are always tight games, as I was just saying to you before. Really pleased as well. Liam Shields' 200th game, and he's been around the club for a fair few years now, and he plays tough and hard footy, and we've got the job done for him today, which is nice.
You kept one of the highest scoring teams in the competition to just 8 goals. How did you do it?
Yeah, they've been a really good team all year. They've got some great attacking forwards and a really good midfield, so, as well as a really good backline. So they're pretty even spread across the ground. But we've had a really, really high focus on our defensive stuff as a team for the whole year, but we've really knuckled down on that the past few weeks. So it was good to keep them to a minor score this week.
And I'm intrigued. Do you make much of the milestones? Because you were here a couple of weeks ago against Collingwood and you got the win for the milestone men. Then it was Luke Bruce and Ben McAvoy. And you've done it again today for Liam Shields.
I think there's a fair few more to come this year as well. Shawnee Burgoyne might break the Indigenous record towards the end of the year, so we've got a few more to come. But you try not to get too emotional about it all because you want to play well every week, but these guys are really decorated players and it's important that we get the job done for them, and we've done that for the two milestones this year.
I don't need to remind Hawthorn fans, if we rewind 12 months ago, coming into round 18, Hawks were sitting 10th, you won your last six and you finished in the top four. You've just won three in a row. A finals on the agenda.
I'm not sure about that. We had an up and down start to the year. We've been pretty consistent the last month or so, but we need to continue to bring that, and I think it's all effort based, and hopefully we'll get better as the season goes on.
Great to catch up. Well done this afternoon.
Thanks, Kelly.
Jagger O'Meara there with Kelly Underwood. O'Meara, of course, played 44 games and kicked 27 goals with the Suns. He has now played 43 games and kicked 25 goals with the Hawks. They mentioned the Indigenous record. That gets equaled next week. Adam Goods 372, Burgoyne 372 next week against the Brisbane Lions. He'll break it the following week against North Melbourne at Marvel Stadium. He's been an ornament to the game, Sean Burgoyne, and there's nothing to say that he can't go on in season 2019 either, as the Hawthorn players dispersed to all parts of the ground. We're happy to take your calls. 52-232-955. Gov has given us a call. Fire away, Gov.
Yep, no problems here. Kenny, Chuck, Benny, Darren and Michael, how are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Just fire away, Gov. Thank you.
What have you got, bud?
Okay, what I've got now. Quick question here. After halftime, why didn't Chris Scott put young Stav into the ruck to actually get some momentum into the game? Because he was struggling to get a kick, get into the game, and all of a sudden he put Stanley in the ruck, continuing with Stanley in the ruck. Why didn't he say young Stav in the ruck just to change the game, to get him involved in the game? Because he had to try something different, a la Malcolm Blythe style, to actually get some momentum back into it in our favour.
Thanks for your question, Gov. Darren Buick.
We actually spoke about that at halftime, Gov, about the possibility of putting him in because they were dominating, or McAvoy was dominating in the ruck. They're still winning the clearances, but Geelong. But, yeah, I would suggest that they had to try something different. And as I mentioned just towards the end, that we've seen a lot of the same Geelong, and whether there needs to be a change in personnel or the way they do things at different times. But all clubs have gone through a little bit of slump, and the credit to Geelong, they worked really hard early in the year to give themselves that buffer at the moment. But there'd have to be some concerning signs at the moment, Benny.
Oh, look, it is, yeah. I mean, I was sort of thinking the 2-2 from the last month was okay. They're on top of the table, and no team is going to fly through the year. You're going to hit a rough patch, and Geelong have hit their rough patch. Now, it's whether they can respond. Can they get back to how they were playing earlier in the year? I mean, you're looking at it now, and the concern in the ruck after today just heightens. You'd have to think Zach Smith gets a chance next week because it's now 5 weeks of Rhys Stanley being well below par. The clearances weren't an issue as such, but Stanley is a ruckman who needs to have an influence around the ground because he's not going to dominate in the actual ruck. He's not that sort of ruckman, and he's not doing either. He's not having an influence in the ruck or around the ground. The other issue, too, is Gary Rowan has gone completely off the boil. I think he kicked 20 goals in his first 9 games. He's now kicked 2 in his last 7. And I know it's not all about goals for him, but he's just not really contributing enough. There might be 1 or 2 impact plays a quarter. It's just not enough. He needs to do more. Myers is only a kid who's up and down a little bit. Clark Atkins has just started to peter out a little bit, not having the impact. So the problem for the Cats is now that one of the issues is that they've gone so long now with the same group. It'd be really difficult to just throw everything out and reform the forward line. So they've sort of probably got to press on. I mean, maybe does Sam Simpson get a crack? I'm not sure. Maybe to replace Narkle. Atkins. Narkle might get a crack. There are a couple of things that they can try. And at least those guys have got some good form in the VFL under their belt. So they have got some things, but there are certainly some concerns. I mean, defensively, again, they've kept the team to 85 points. Hawthorn were inaccurate in the second quarter, but they're not being blown away in terms of scores, but they just look, they've really looked well off the pace for the entire game this afternoon.
Just got to pay tribute. Liam Shields just been carried off by Isaac Smith and Luke Bruce. Nice touch, of course, all three of them being 3-time premiership players for the Hawks. So they make their way to the rooms. Do the Hawks. Renee Gehring is down there, has been with us for Pettis suspension this afternoon. Renee, I'm guessing they're very buoyant down in the Hawthorn rooms.
Yeah, there's definitely a real positive vibe in the room. All of those onlookers and families and friends are certainly up and about. So I'm sure we'll hear them coming in loud and proud in just a moment. We can hear them as I speak.
We've got one other game going on, Benny. Have you got a score update from what's happening in the Alice between Melbourne and West Coast, where it would be quarter time?
Yeah, West Coast in front by around about 4 goals, Kenny. So they have got the jump on the Demons up there in the Alice.
Thank you for that, Renee. Players no doubt huddling up down there, ready to.
We sure are, and the song is about to begin.
So the Hawks improved to 8-9. Certainly were the mighty Fighting Hawks this afternoon as they get over the top of the Cats to the tune of 24 points, 12-13-85 to Geelong 8-13-61. Who are we speaking with, Renee?
We'll be speaking with James Warple in a moment. Alistair Clarkson just getting around and getting high fives from all the boys. Big smile on his face. A very happy man.
Good stuff. We'll get back to you in a moment. Thank you for that, Renee. Happy to take your calls. Cat fans, 52-232-955 on your thoughts on the clash this afternoon. But Twitter, the vitriol that has started on the KFC Twitter.
Starting
at
the
Footballer. We just posed the question, thoughts, horrid, look forward to Chris Scott saying he's not overreacting, crediting the opposition and talking about how even the competition is, none of which actually acknowledges the issues we've seen over the last month. Outcoached and can't kick, September looks appealing. Four changes needed out. Parsons, Stanley, Atkins, Guthrie, in Parfitt, Menegola, Smith, Narkel. I'm sorry, but Parsons is VFL level, not AFL level, and some players are like that, not their fault. How many chances until GFC realise this? He's just not good enough for the next step. This is far, far more than a form slump. Parsons never again can tell you I'm annoyed. Is there a talk back? I need to vent. 5-2-2-3-2-9-5-5. I knew we'd lose based on team selection. Buse, Parsons not in the best 22. Get them out now. We haven't turned up since the bye. Buse ain't going nowhere. Parsons should never play again. Another wasted season. Need to kick straight. Lethargic. Freshen up the team. Healthy list with players in the VFL putting in the effort. I'd argue team selection shows he doesn't know it. I think they're talking about Chris Scott. There's how about a bit of intent to get hands dirty, always second to the ball.
I agree, Kingy, with I reckon 80% of those, 80% of them, it's not a wasted season. Geelong are on top of the table and there's still a chance to win a premiership. What they delivered today was nowhere near it. And they need to, I think I said it half time, recalibrate, reassess. They do need to tweak, they need to make some tough calls, maybe freshen a couple of those younger kids. But it's not a wasted season. Geelong are on top of the table for a reason, Boris. They've had a horror today, but they've still got the people there to get it done.
Yeah, and it is very obviously a severe form slump at the moment. And every team, as Benny said, has gone through them. Collingwood are going through, and GWS have gone through one. Eagles are going through a little one. I agree with a lot of it. You need to just see a little bit of a change, a freshen up. And I'll mention it again that a lot of these players have played a lot of footy this year, and it's very easy then to see patterns of how they play, what they do. And as opposition clubs do, they go through the opposition with a fine-tooth comb, and they'll find out ways to beat teams and negate opposition. And I think they're just a little bit too predictable in terms of personnel and the way they're playing at the moment, Geelong.
There's no spark, is there? There was a real spark about the Cats at times early in the year. They played with a real intensity.
Because it was new. Yeah, they had new, but those new players are now being seen enough to find out that, gee, I can beat them in this area. We can beat the team in this area.
It looks like there's a little bit of self-doubt with some of the players too. You know, they're not going as well. Things aren't going their way. And some of those players who are not experienced or not seasoned find it difficult to actually reverse that. And, I mean, it's the one of the other problems too is it's the same issues now for the Cats each week. It's the ruck. It's some of those players like Rowan and a few others, and there's that little revolving door of same players coming in, same players coming out. But be interesting to see what they do next week at selection for the Cats.
Fifth quarter, thanks to Signature Homes and City to Serve Solar. Happy to take your calls, Cat fans. 5-2-2-3-2-9-5-5. Of course, Signature Homes, an award-winning Geelong builder specialising in custom-designed homes. $400,000 to $1 million. And City to Serve Solar, of course, Geelong solar power and energy efficiency specialists. Essington Street in Grovedale. And, of course, proud supporters of the K-Rock Football Caller of the Year. And we do have our KFC Family Burger Box to give away. But the tweets are providing a lot of entertainment here on a Sunday afternoon. Not too far away from heading down, hopefully, into the victorious Hawthorn Rooms. What we might do is we might get a breakaway and then have a chat with James Warple on the other side of this. We'll also head to the Cats Rooms as well and speak with one of the vanquished men in hoops and get their reaction to today's performance. Geelong beaten by 24 points by the Hawks. Live, breathe, K-Rock footy.
Across Geelong and the Surf Coast, you're locked on the home of footy.
K-Rock Football, back in minutes.
Come with us now, behind the scenes to the boardroom at K-Rock 955, where a plan's being hatched to give away a trip for two to Bali.
Okay, guys, so this is a great prize. Let's come up with a nice, simple competition to give it away.
What if we do an eating contest and call it K-Rock's Bali Belly?
Yeah, I don't hate it. What else have you guys got?
We could hire a heap of scooters and have a race. Call it K-Rock's Scooter to Cooter?
Also not a bad idea. How about you two play a quick round of rock, paper, scissors to see which one we go with? Rock, paper, scissors. Rock, paper, scissors. Hang on, I've got an idea.
K-Rock Paper Scissors. Go head-to-head with the K-Rock team, and if you win, you could find yourself and a friend sunning it up in Bali on us.
Oh, this is awesome!
Plus,
we've made some incredibly shonky knockoff merchandise that you can get your hands on too.
Get ready for your chance to win with K-Rock Paper Scissors.
Woo-hoo! Weekdays on K-Rock 955.
Warrilily Central's brand new release is now selling. Live right next door to great shopping at Warrilily Village. Enroll your kids in Armstrong Creek School, childcare or kindergarten at the new community centre. See a local game at the Sports Pavilion. Oberon Secondary College is also opening in 2021. All just seconds from your door. Live at the centre of everything at Warrilily Central. Land now selling. Visit warrilily.com.au.
Hi, Gary Watts from Signature Homes. Thinking of building? A free appointment with our in-house architect will make your new home more about you and the way you live.
The interactions with Daniel, the architect, have been very positive. His communication style is very easy to work with. We talked what the budget would be. They came back with a design that fitted that budget.
For your free appointment with our in-house architect, register now at signaturehomes.net.au. Signature Homes, your custom design professionals.
Imagine how much you could save using the sun to power your home. Now, imagine if someone else paid for half of the conversion. The state government's 50% solar rebate has just kicked in. City to Surf Solar can show you how to take advantage of it today. T's and C's apply, so see if you're eligible. Make hay while the sun shines and while the rebate pays for half. Speak to City to Surf Solar now. Learn more at the region's best interactive showroom in Essington Street, Grovedale. citytosurfsolar.com.au. You.
Listen to the footy on your K-Rock radio.
Covering the biggest games every weekend, live and free.
This is K-Rock Football.
K-Rock Football, powered by our number one ticket holder, Warrilily, Harvey Norman and Subway.
Oh, back here at the MCG, the post-mortem has started following the Cats' 24-point loss to Hawthorn, their biggest loss of season 2019. Now, we can put it in perspective and say the Cats are still 13-4 on top of the ladder after what is 18 rounds of the season. Their biggest loss of the year has been 24 points, but the fact is, since the bye, they are 2-3. Mm. They've gone loss, win, loss, win, loss. So that means they beat the Swans next week in Sydney. Although the Swans are going to... They'll be grateful for an eight-day break after the slog last night in Perth. But, gee, there's some questions to be asked about what the Cats look like going forward because, as Ben said, you need to tweak some things, but you can't go making wholesale changes with five rounds to go. You have to back in the system that's got you to this point.
Yeah, and a lot of those Twitter feedback was about Parsons, wasn't it? It's easy to go and throw stones and peg from the top level
at a
bloke that's got his opportunity and come in and everyone else is underperforming as well.
To the phones, Brandon has joined us on the line. Brandon, thanks for your call.
Hey, boys. For me personally today, I think Geelong was a little bit too handball happy. I think they weren't quick enough off the mark when they got marks.
Yeah, look, you make good points. What was the kick-to-handball ratio, Benny?
Yeah, probably a good point. The Cats had 342 disposals, and I'm just looking down here, so there were 202 kicks. So, it wasn't huge on the handball, but there was a really good point just made on Twitter, which is probably pertinent by Tim Ross suggesting just getting outnumbered contest after contest Geelong. Skills are well down, won the clearances. It's a good point that for the last month, one of the themes is that around the ball, Geelong have been getting well beaten. And we saw that probably no more evident against the game against Port Adelaide.
It's their run, Benny, as well. You're visually watching it, wouldn't see it on TV screens, but so many times Hawthorn players continue to run to the contest and support where Geelong players behind the ball are labouring and walking.
Brandon, thanks for your call. Nige is next on the line. Nige, thanks for your call.
G'day, guys. How are you today?
That was disappointing.
Yeah, look, I don't know. I sit back and I struggle because Geelong just has a knack of playing really substandard teams in a form. Like, looking at our list, we've got so much strength, but where we sit today, like, position to spectate the game, like, we rarely use the corridor. We choose to just hug flanks and hit wings, and it's just so one-on-one, and we just don't get our free-flowing game on. Like, I don't know, it's a concern when you've got a bloke like Hawkins just standing there, and love his work rate, love what he stands for, but just he didn't have the yip, he couldn't break out and get a kick down the throat. What's your take?
It's a tremendous call by Nige in terms of the switch And we were calling for it all day, really. We were looking for the Cats with ball in hand to change the angle and use the open side. And there's a responsibility on the bloke with ball in hand to do it. But too many times today, the guy that would be free, a Geelong player that would be free for that switch, I don't think demands it enough and doesn't wave his arms and isn't aggressive enough to get the bloke with the balls in hand attention. So, yeah, it's a little bit of a chicken or the egg. Is it the bloke with the ball, or is it the teammates that should be directing and helping the guy make a better decision?
Nige, great call from you. Thank you for that. In the draw for the KFC Family Burger Box and also the City to Serve Solar Caller of the Year. Jamie, thanks for your call.
How you going, guys? Good call as usual.
Thank you, Jamie.
Two things I noticed today was just like every time... Every time Hawthorn...
Turn left, Jamie. Jamie, turn left.
On Holland Street.
I know. Oh. Every time Hawthorn possessed the ball, they possessed it. Every time we panicked, we kicked it long and turned it over. And just the other thing I noticed is I just baffled with that umpiring decision when it was a goal and it was so unclear that it was touched and they just bring it back and call it a point.
Yeah, whenever it ceases to amaze us what happens with that video review, Jamie, I don't think it made any difference to the result. But, you couldn't clearly definitively say that ball was touched.
Oh, no, the Clark one was right.
Yeah. It was touched.
It was touched, Benny. Wow.
Yeah. Trying to hold up in court of law?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Anthony has joined us. Jamie, thanks for your
thanks,
call.
Thanks, Jamie.
Hello, Stay Anthony.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Good, thank you. Fire away.
Yeah, I was just a bit concerned about the Geelong midfield depth coming in. I've only seen the second half of this game, but the last few weeks it's been pretty concerning. I think they've lost a lot of contested ball and speed out of the actual midfield, and they're putting the defence under too much pressure and not giving our forward line enough chance to put that frontal pressure on.
Contested numbers, Ben? Sorry, Anthony, but we'll just get those numbers.
Good point. They actually were down 3 in contested possession, but those numbers can be a little skew. If there's all sorts of things that make up contested possession, including free kicks. So just on pure numbers, I just agree. One of the themes, we've probably had 3 themes in the last 5 weeks for the Cats. One is that they've struggled in the ruck. 2 is that they've had some real inconsistency from their smaller mid-sized forwards who have been really good early in the season. And the 3rd one is that they are getting beaten around the ball. They're getting outnumbered. And we saw it a number of times today, just that 50-50 ball so often went Hawthorn's way where they're able to push it forward. And Geelong were really good in that area early in the year. So those 3 areas have dropped.
What they haven't and they didn't have today was different personnel going through the middle. We said at the start of last quarter, I think, Mick, that they got Selwood in and they put Mitch Duncan in. You know, we were off air there, Chuck. We got Parfitt, Meningola, Selwood, who might give a different look going through the middle of the ground that could come in and help in that area. And Meningola, Parfitt and Selwood are all good contested players. So it may be something that they look at over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, is there a chance? Hawthorn do it really well. There's always Puopolo, Bruce or Wingard in the centre square bounce. And then they'll just shift forward.
Yep.
So is it Dalhouse just in there for the centre square bounce and push forward? It's so right. It can become a bit stale, the same 4 or 5. And the longer the game goes, that the burden of that just weighs down a fair bit.
Anthony, you still there? You have one more point to make?
Yeah, I think it's only a couple of tweaks to the game, to the structure that needs to change. Stanley, I think, is the number one ruck because his contested stuff is pretty good. I think he just lacks a bit of confidence, just needs to get some more of that old-fashioned mongrel back into him, really, just throw his body in. But I'd be bringing, well, Parfitt's out injured, but once he comes back, I think Meningola and Constable have to come back into the side. They were really good early. Constable keeps getting numbers and just can't get a go. I don't know what he's there, but Parsons, for me, I don't think he should be back in ever again. He just can't make a decent decision with the ball. And the other one I'd take out, the Buse. I think he just doesn't do enough, and I think we're one defender too heavy. We need more of that midfield spread, and I think taking a defender out would be the way to go to give our forwards more of a chance to get the ball up that end of the ground.
Yeah, plenty for the coaching staff to consider. Anthony, thank you for your call. A great one. Well and truly in the running there for the KFC Family Burger Box. Just had a direct message sent to me. Geelong opposition best player for the last 4 or 5 games. Lysette, Port, O'Brien, Adelaide, Marshall, Saints, McAvoy, Hawks. English was okay for the Dogs too. All ruckman.
We know the theme. We've spoken about it ad nauseum. Zach Smith in for the Swans.
I think, was that Anthony we just had on the line? Was. He made a good point. I mean, Reece Stanley is the whipping boy for the Cats. He's one of the maligned players, and there seems to be one or two for every team that the fans go after. And it's Stanley and Parsons for the Cats. And he is very much a confidence player, and right now he's had 5 weeks of his confidence slowly dipping. And I don't know at Clubland how you get that back. I mean, how do you work with a player to get his confidence back? Because it's probably something you can do all the training you like, but it's a bit like the golfer who's flushing it on the range. As soon as the tournament starts, his tree's left, his tree's right, because it's a different mindset. You probably have to find that confidence within a game, but he's not touching the ball to find that confidence.
Whether it's a circuit breaker for individuals and as a group, again, we don't know what's going on behind closed doors, whether they've tried this stuff, whether it's a game at golf rather than main training, whether it's 10-pin bowling, that type of stuff. They're left field. But again, I don't think it's complete panic stations in terms of the situation of the year. They've still got a good chunk of footy going into that September period to re-evaluate and just see where they're at.
You wonder, Mick, too, that, I mean, Reece Stanley's not silly. He knows that they've taken Zach Smith out of the twos and the VFL are not playing next week. He's got to be going thinking, well, it's a strange decision.
Yeah.
Clearly, they're looking at playing Zach Smith next week, freshening up, make sure he's right. So Stanley comes into this game thinking, well, I'm probably out of the side next week anyway. Maybe I need a break. But Reece Stanley's not playing well enough to have a break, to be managed. You don't want him out of the team and his confidence dips even more if he's being replaced.
And that's an individual one. And then a lot of the public commentary coming out of Geelong at the moment is looking forward to the finals. And the finals should be played at GMHBA Stadium. So that wouldn't be talked about internally, but they do hear. They hear stuff and... Yeah, at the same time, they've just got to get out there and play and commit to a brand. And there's a lot of external noise which would be weighing on their minds at the moment.
5-2-2-3-2-9-5-5. Happy to take your calls. Unfortunately, we've been unable to speak with James Warple. Situation just changed down in the Hawthorn rooms, but we have gone to the Cats rooms. Tom Hawkins is not too far away from joining us to have a chat about the loss by the Cats.
Funny thing is, we're talking sort of doom and gloom. Well, I know a bit of half... I can be half glass empty with the Cats, but they're still on top of the ladder, I think, aren't they?
They are.
Game clear.
And
game
basically
clear,
two games clear on top of the ladder.
Yep.
So it's not a bad spot to be in.
No, it's not the worst. There's 17 other clubs that would like to be there.
Correct.
Renee Gehring is down in the vanquished Geelong rooms, of course. Fifth quarter thanks to Signature Homes and City to Sir Solar. Renee, I believe you're with Tom Hawkins.
I sure am. Tom, thanks for your time. Obviously, always a tight contest against Hawthorn, but they were just a little bit too good today.
Yeah, they were. It was a disappointing day for our footy club. I thought we were kind of in there with a shot in the second half. We kept the game close enough, but to be fair, it was probably just missed opportunities. Hawthorn, I thought, played well as well, but we missed a few opportunities. So, you know, along with that, we just need to get back to work as a team and as a club just to look to, you know, try and improve. Just our last month of footy hasn't been our best, so we need to improve.
What do you think, I suppose, is that starting point or that one thing, or is there a particular thing that you think is that starting point to make that change? And you say there was those missed opportunities. What is it, do you think? Is there something at the essence of that?
Oh, I think it's a multitude of things. I think the way that we move the ball is going to complement the way that we defend. So we just probably need to hold on to the footy for a bit longer. I think Hawthorn were up. I don't know what the marks tallies were, but you know, they seem to be able to mark the footy, and probably at times we couldn't. So. And move the ball forward. So, as I said, that complements our defence. And also, you know, we just need to make better defensive decisions earlier, because I think we probably just put our defenders or our defence under a bit too much pressure with, you know, the way that opposition have been able to move the ball up the ground.
Tom, thanks for joining us on K-Rock Football. Always hard after a loss. Kinging up in the box with Chuck Berry, Mickey Barlow, Darren Buick and Benny Cass. You're watching it all unfold basically from the goal square or deep inside forward 50. Are your levels of frustration growing as you see the way the ball's coming and you knowing there's just no free-flow footy coming?
Yeah, King, I do move out of the goal square, mate. But, look, it was a bit frustrating at times today. But, as I said, you know, if we can just keep trying to move the ball forward and... put the defence under pressure. I thought we did that, and we looked really, really dangerous at times. We probably just didn't do it enough. So yeah, you're frustrated as a forward when the ball's not coming down the way you would like it. But because I'm a strong believer that you can work hard and get into some really good spots, but you're a product of what happens up the field.
Have you met as a team yet and Chris spoken to? And if you have, what sort of was the point of his message?
No, look, we haven't. I know the coaching staff will be really disappointed because they put a lot of work into this game, and they're a team that we never take lightly. But I think a few of the key points that I've touched on. We'd just like to move the ball better in attack. We'd like to take the ball off the opposition earlier and put more pressure on them earlier. When I say earlier, if the ball's down in our forward half, we'd love to keep it there and turn it over and play the game in our half, which we did at times, but we just didn't do it for long enough. And we talk about the missed opportunities. It's just getting back to work and working hard on all aspects of our game. So, it wasn't just forwards that missed and... So as a group, we just need to work, because this is, as a player, it can be a bit of a tough time of year. But we've just got to keep grinding it out. The weather starts to turn now, and the sun shines a bit longer in the days, and you start to pick yourself up. But we just need to get back to work and get better.
Tommy, Chuck Berry, once again, mate, you always come on when you lose, and that tells me a lot about you as a character. It's easier to say, nah, not today. So thanks for joining us, and we obviously watch you every week. We analyse the game, and we love it when the Cats do well. We felt today the ball movement was a real struggle, and I was interested, you said, to hold on to it a bit longer. We felt at times there probably wasn't enough attacking through the corridor, in particular when the game was there to be won, and it seemed to just go along the line a lot, Tommy, rather than once or twice Cam Guthrie burst through, but there was a lot of kick-to-kick we felt up here.
Yeah, sorry, Chuck, you're right. What I meant to say was hold on to the ball a bit longer, but keep looking to shift the ball forward instead of probably back and lateral. But, we can move the ball back and lateral, but you just got to keep testing the opposition by moving the ball forward. So probably agree with that a bit.
Okay, the other one I was going to say, I mean, the forward half, and again, this is not doom and gloom, because Geelong are on top, and there'll be a lot of Cat fans driving home, a little frustrated, oh, the bloody Hawks have got us at the MCG. Geelong are on top, we'll just repeat that. But there's a excitement about that forward line, but we felt also, Tommy, today, a couple of those younger boys, Grian and Tommy Atkins, who have been so good in breakout years, hard me to put this in words, do we need a bit of a freshen up and maybe a look at a couple of new faces in there to manage those younger guys?
Look, it's no doubt been a long year for some of those guys that are playing in their first year of football. But personally, I feel like they're in really good condition physically, and I think they're in a good position mentally. They really help us the way Tommy Atkins applies pressure and can go into the midfield and help out there. So he can play a variety of roles. I think Grimes, the sort of player that can just needs to keep playing football. He's got an incredible work rate, and that's what we love and respect about him in the team. So we've got some new faces down there. I certainly don't think that they need to have a spell or be rested.
Okay.
I think they're playing really good footy. I think as a collective 22, we just need to get a little bit better, and as I said, if we can attack better, it'll help those guys. But also if we can defend better and be more connected as a defence, I think that's going to only bring them into the game more, because they apply elite pressure and make really good decisions with ball in hand. So they're a really important part of our 22 and our side when we're playing good footy.
Great answer.
Fifth quarter for Signature Homes and City to serve Solar. Speaking with Vanquished Cat Tom Hawkins, he's Michael Barlow.
Tommy, bad luck today, mate. Enjoyed the contest, particularly with James Frawley and yourself today, a couple of older warriors. But I want to talk to you about Frawley and Sicily and their backline, how they... I suppose they're up and going at the moment, and are they as good going at the moment as you've come across?
Yeah, g'day, Mick. Good question. They're really organised, Hawthorn. I mean, they've got some really, really well-known players down there that have played a lot of footy together. And this Grant Birchall, who was a late withdrawal, but they do like to keep their defence intact and do a really good job of that. So they've done it really well throughout the year, and we knew that when we come up against these guys, we're in for a tough contest, because you know, they don't like to just defend, but they also like to get involved in the game and attack and, you know, and make you work both ways. So we certainly as players, like James and I, have played a lot of footy against each other, Chip, that is, and we certainly respect. Well, I think we respect each other's games really well.
Think
and,
he would,
what,
mate,
and
yeah.
What we've done in our careers, because it sort of started beyond you know, his first few years at Melbourne. We played together in against each other in championships and stuff like that. So I always like playing against him. We had a couple of conversations today. We thought we got the rough end of the stick a couple of times, and we both biffed each other and thought it was the other fault. So I always enjoy playing against Chip. He's been a great player, you know, for Melbourne and now for Hawthorn. So, yeah, certainly getting back to your point, it's a defensive unit that we really respect.
Tom, Darren Buick here. Thanks for joining us. First half was as disappointing I've seen the team play overall, and probably with Hawthorn missing a few simple goals in that quarter, you probably could have been further behind.
Yep.
You come out after halftime looking very much the same. Was there any thought of changing things up a little bit? Because if there is a criticism, and obviously you'd know, we get a lot of feedback from callers and Twitter here that there's no plan B or they don't change things up. It looked very similar. Was it a thing at halftime just to back in the players and give them an opportunity to turn things around themselves?
Yeah, we like to back our system and back our players that we pick each week. Our coaching staff have got a huge amount of confidence in their ability and our ability to be able to play and execute. But I sort of disagree a little bit. I thought we moved the ball better. We've got to respect the opposition and,
sure,
and how they defend and how they play. I thought they were really good. They had some really good names on paper and they played really good footy. But I thought we tried to. I mean, the missed opportunities. When we finished the game, I just heard a stat, we finished the game,
yep,
we kicked 1-7. So
yep,
I know we could have been further behind. I thought we improved in the second half. And we just if we'd kicked a couple of, even if we'd kicked one, you know, the momentum builds from there. And unfortunately, just we weren't able to get any real momentum. And sort of get a bit of a run on. But I thought we were in the game. I mean, late, you know, they kicked a couple of goals when we were trying to, you know, attack the game and be a bit more daring. But, we certainly weren't at our best in saying,
sure,
that in the second half. We'd love to play a lot better, but I did think that we looked to be a bit more attacking because I thought we were quite safe in the first half.
Yeah, it certainly was that. But and just going on your point there, the momentum when you're saying that, you know, a few of it, you know, Myers missed a goal from close in, and then someone else.
Stanley Radicalia, there was missed shots, yeah, close.
Does that, yeah, sort of filter through the team and go, oh, geez, it's not our day? Or, and I know that's a silly thing to say in terms of not our day, but it does that filter down into the group?
No, it's a fair point, but I didn't gauge that one bit out there.
Sure.
I gauged that our team were full of confidence. Yeah, it was disappointing that we missed those opportunities, but I still thought. Thought that we'd switch back on and look to keep, you know, playing the game the way that we wanted to. I mean, we had repeat opportunities to score, so I mean that's a good sign. But you know, when you miss sort of three or four of them, and the opposition go down and score, it's sort of, I don't know, you can make it what you will, but it, you know, anywhere between a 12 and 18 point turnaround. So we still felt really confident out there, but you know, we just couldn't get the job done.
Tommy, it's Benny Cass. Thanks for joining us on Current Footy. You're always great with your time, and you've answered all the footy questions. It's only a game of footy. You'll be back next week. It's the great thing about footy. You get a chance next week. But
up in Sydney.
Happy birthday today.
Yeah, cheers. Thank you, Danny.
The big 31.
31.
31 today.
Welcome.
Yeah. Just a couple of quiet frothies on the farm tonight, or how does that work?
I'm actually going to stay down here. I don't condone it, but I'm going to tuck into a nice feed at Chin Chin and have a couple of beers. But,
okay.
Good work.
And no
Thank
doubt
you.
You'll get home to see a little bit of the British Open. I want to ask you about that second goal. Were you channeling the sort of British Open power fade Port Rush style back into the breeze? Because it was an absolute cracker.
Well, I always like to tell people that hit the ball left to right as right-handers, but I think it was more of a slice, to be honest, Ben. But I wanted to ask you, I saw your name down this week. How did you hit them?
Yeah, I was all over the shop. I slept well. So
saw plenty of the course.
Yeah, I got my money's worth.
You're very good at that, Ben.
Yeah, no, it was good. Look, great to have you on. And the other thing I wanted to mention too, and I know you've just lost the game of footy, but 250 games next week against the Sydney Swans, and I think I've seen 249 of them. So it's been a pleasure up here in the box, and no doubt you'll have some family come across from all parts of the compass to see that. But 250 games for the Cats. Congratulations, and hopefully have a ripper next week.
Yeah, great stuff. Cheers, Tommy.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
And the bell ringer, how's he going, the old man?
Oh, the old man, yeah. Oh, I think we sort of kept him up north in Finlay, kept him away from the spotlight this week because I think it sort of all was a bit too much for him last week after his disappointing efforts and ringing the bell, which is seems like a pretty easy job.
Tom, I know it's not a great day for the club, but hopefully we've put a smile on your face talking to us. We try to have a bit of fun up here and keep it lighthearted. We do really appreciate your time, and no doubt you'll be doing some media during the week for 250. We'll see you around the club.
Thank you. Thank you, boys.
Good on
you,
Tom.
We'll see you there.
Joining us on K-Rock Football, fifth quarter, Signature Homes and City to Serve. So just a nice little bit of feedback off the KFC Twitter. My thoughts from, this is from Sean Wayne Brooks, my thoughts from an outsider looking in, that call was the most brutal, honest ever I've heard. Great stuff. Jamie's joined us on the line. Another Jamie. Thanks for your call,
Different
Jamie.
Different one or same one?
G'day, boys. Hi.
Different Jamie. Go away, Jamie. Go away, Jamie.
Just a quick question. A lot of people are focusing in on guys like Parsons and Stanley. I don't have an issue with those guys, especially Parsons, because he's a kid. What I've got a problem is with guys that have some, apparently they're really great players, who under constant pressure can't stand up.
Who?
Zach Tui, ever since he's come back into the team. That
yes,
I yes. have Jack Henry in that team before I'd have Zach Tui. Four times today, Tui turned it over, all panicked with the football. And another one is everyone's favourite, Mitch Duncan. So if you go into the outer and you listen to the people watching the game, they love Mitch Duncan, especially when he turns it over or when he looks up when someone else is coming. Now, when is the time that these guys get questioned about it? Because I don't care about how many AFL fantasy points Mitch Duncan gets, because that doesn't count the butchering of the ball when he turns it over or when he panics, i.e. when he just kicked it straight out of bounds today. You see, Dave's worked on that only when there's 14 guys chasing him.
Yeah, good. You make some valid points, Jay. Yeah, Mitch Duncan's use of the footy has not been great.
It wasn't great last year too. He's very hit and miss, and the problem is when he misses, he tends to be the howler that actually goes directly to an opposition
ball out on the full,
and the ball's going back at a million miles an hour. Just had an interesting point off the KFC Twitter from Dan Madden, who's suggesting that lots of Geelong players have attacking starting points, expecting us to win contested ball. When we lose 50-50,
in trouble.
Geelong get blown away. Yep. So it might be a good point that they backing themselves in the Cats because they do have a very attacking sort of.
Is it backing
list?
Yourself in, or is it rolling the? You roll the dice.
They're obviously
a little bit.
Rolling the dice, and then the dice doesn't go your way.
Yep.
They're getting fried the other way, so it'll be really interesting to see how they sort of respond to that, because they do have a lot of sea ball, get ball offensive.
They got fried a couple of times today when they turned the footy over. Hawks moved it quick. We spoke about it at half time. The boys in experts' comments says, I reckon it happened at least three times today that converted into Hawthorn goals. The Geelong defenders pushed up high. I reckon the Geelong defenders have been outstanding all year. I agree with the call on Tui. I'm a Tui fan. He's having a horror this year, in my opinion. They push up high. Hawthorn moved the footy. They caught him out the back, and three times today it hurt them. So the listeners, they're on the money.
Well, it's interesting that, I mean, in modern day footy, sometimes stats can hide or mirror, you know, an issue with a particular player or a team. And, I mean, there's so many stats flying around now. I mean, sides are getting around about between 350, 400 disposals a game. And you tend to just look, the old style was still a part of, you look at how many stats someone's had and it's 20 and you think, oh, geez, they must have played well. It's no longer the case.
No.
Tui's had 20 possessions, only 13 have hit the target, and he's kicked a fair few out in the...
I haven't looked at your stats, but I reckon Mitch Duncan and Dangerfield are probably high up, and I'd say neither of them had an impact on the game.
Well, see, Mitch Duncan had 26 possessions.
Did he?
The stats are saying 23 of them were effective. But he only had one inside 50, and he had seven clearances. So, I mean, stats suggest that's a reasonable game, but impact on the game wasn't enormous.
Stuart next on the line. Stuart, thanks for your call.
No worries, thank you. Yeah, g'day, guys. Just a list management question here, guys. We've had Stanley and Smith on the list for quite a time now, and going back a few years ago, they were swapping and changing, and obviously Stanley's taken the number one mantle.
We've got Abbott and we've also got Ford. So over the last 2 years, we've brought Abbott in the system and last year we brought Ford in. Why, if we're not going to use Smith, which my personal opinion is Smith should be playing in the side, our ruckcraft in the centre, we've got the best on balls almost in the competition, but we haven't got a ruckman that can get them to them. So we're always playing a defensive brand, yet we've got attacking style midfielders. Why and when is the time going to come when Smith's going to be given the opportunity for a 3 or 4 game block, which I understand that Stanley will have to play VFL because he doesn't fit anywhere else into our system on the ground. What is the point of bringing Abbott and Fort into it if we're not going to at least get rid of one of those other ruckmen because we've got 4 ruckmen blocking up our list?
Okay, so Smith, I would be shocked if Smith doesn't play in Sydney next week. And I wouldn't be, and I suspect he goes to Perth the week after because
Sandilands,
and then the following week North have got, they've got North
Shaka
and Goldstein,
got big Finkelstein,
yeah. And so
McInerney for the Lions.
I can't. You know, that's going to be a massive clash. Steph Martin as well.
Round 22,
huge.
That actually might be.
So just back, top spot. Just back on the ruck. I can't answer why they brought in Fort last year. They obviously saw something they liked, but he hasn't actually played as a ruckman at AFL level, and mostly at VFL level, he's been playing as a forward. Smith is out of contract at the end of this year. Stanley is out of contract at the end of next year, and I think Abbott is out of contract this year. This is Abbott's third year on the list, and he's out of contract at the end of this year as well. So Geelong have some decisions to make. Now, Smith comes in over the next month and has an impact, and Geelong roll into the finals and he's the man and they do well in the finals and maybe, you know, get to a grand final. We're not letting Zach Smith go, are they?
Well, it was about this point last year where we were saying that Rhys Stanley won't be playing at Geelong. And he ended
it was probably a month earlier.
Yeah, it was probably, but it was second half of the season we were saying Rhys Stanley's future at Geelong is
around the bye last year.
Is precarious at best. Yeah. He ended up with a 2-year deal. The problem the Cats have is if they go with Smith and that fails and you've dropped Rhys Stanley for a month, his confidence is shot. So you end up with basically, and I don't think you could have Fort or Abbott. You'd have to go with Abbott.
I won't be Fort. Abbott's number 3.
You'd have to have Abbott. So you're really rolling the dice on confidence levels.
You've got to roll it. Zach Smith has to play the next couple of weeks, no doubt. Stanley improved at the start of this year, and I've been one of his biggest critics, and I know Bluey, when I've worked with him, is one of his biggest critics. I felt Rhys Stanley was most improved at the start of this year. He had a really good game against Grundy. The last 5 weeks, I reckon he's been poor. And I'm just calling it as a commentator, watching the game, watching the Cats with a passion. And it's time to have a look at Zach Smith. So the dice has to be rolled. Stanley's, you mentioned it before, his last 5 weeks, McAvoy's towed him up. English was a 50-50 against a kid, I reckon. Rowan Marshall towed him up down at Geelong. I can't remember the games in a row. King, he had it before, but he's had a bad month, Rhys Stanley.
Yeah, so Port Adelaide was Lysette.
Yeah, destroyed him.
Yeah, then it was home against Riley O'Brien.
Who the game? That game turned when Rhys Stanley went out of the ruck and Blitzarth went into the ruck.
And then obviously it was English.
50-50 against a kid.
Last week against
Marshall. Won. Was
and
best.
Today against McAvoy.
Yep, so it's been a bad 5 weeks. Time to have a look at Smith. And I'd be surprised if any Geelong fan disagreed with that. We've got to have a look at Zach Smith and see what he's got over the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Just on pure stats, and I know stats don't tell the story, but hit-outs to advantage. McAvoy 13. Stanley had 12 hit-outs to advantage. Overall, hit-outs were 44-32. McAvoy took 4 marks, 13 possessions. 12 of his 13 possessions hit the target. He did win 11 contested possessions. He had and just laid 2 tackles. Rhys Stanley had 5 kicks, 8 possessions in total, took 2 marks and laid 1 tackle, didn't hit the scoreboard, and he did not have a clearance. So, honours with McAvoy, but
easily.
He certainly didn't.
Easily.
He certainly didn't dominate the game.
Fifth quarter, thanks to Signature Homes and City to Surf Solar.
Jeez, Davey's
cheers gone over.
He's had a tip over.
Jeez, Davey.
We know he's grumpy.
We know he didn't like Geelong's performance today, but there's no reason to go throwing things, Davey Collins. Jeez. Not ideal. We've got to come back. Thanks to all our callers. We'll come back. We'll let you know who's picked up the KFC because you've got a tough decision to make there, Chuck. There's been some good callers.
That is a tough decision.
Post-game, they've been pretty good. 5223295 is the number. Also, we'll go through our Hamlin Hanger, our goal of the day. Geelong Insurance Brokers head-to-head. We need a steamatic standout.
Renee's back from the rooms. We want to get her update from the vibe in the rooms.
Yes, we will. Listen, John, I got a hospital injury update.
The Marbo.
Maybe a few bruised egos down in the catch rooms after that performance. But the Hawks got it done by 24 points. Lip breathe. K-Rock footy.
Across Geelong and the Surf Coast, you're locked on the home of footy.
K-Rock football. Back in minutes.
Come with us now, behind the scenes to the boardroom at K-Rock 955, where a plan's being hatched to give away a trip for two to Bali.
Okay, guys, so this is a great prize. Let's come up with a nice, simple competition to give it away.
What if we do an eating contest and call it K-Rock's Bali Belly?
Yeah, I don't hate it. What else have you guys got?
We could hire a heap of scooters and have a race. Call it K-Rock's Scooter to Cooter?
Also not a bad idea. How about you two play a quick round of rock, paper, scissors to see which one we go with? Rock, paper, scissors. Rock, paper, scissors. Hang on, I've got an idea.
K-Rock Paper Scissors. Go head-to-head with the K-Rock team, and if you win, you could find yourself and a friend sunning it up in Bali on us.
Oh, that's awesome!
Plus, we've made some incredibly shonky knock-off merchandise that you can get your hands on too.
Get ready for your chance to win with K-Rock Paper Scissors.
Woo-hoo! Weekdays on K-Rock 955.
Does your family life rely on a double income? Could your business survive without its star player? Getting insurance is simple, ensuring you're still in the game even if you end up on the bench. Insurance is easy when you've got the local experts on the sidelines setting you up to kick your goals. Geelong Insurance Brokers, covering Geelong for 25 years. Spend your time kicking goals while we look after the rest. Speak to the local experts. Geelonginsurancebrokers.com.au.
There's a very special day coming up, Beatrice, and I've got big plans.
Oh, Bruce, you remembered.
I'll never forget that special day in 1982.
Yes, Bruce, it was wonderful.
Honestly, my life just wouldn't be the same without them.
Them?
Yeah, Coors Hire. They opened back in 1982. What did you think I was talking about?
Our wedding anniversary.
Oh, right.
Coors Hire, local for over 30 years. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. CoorsHire.com.au.
Listen to the footy on your K-Rock radio.
Covering the biggest games every weekend, live and free.
This is K-Rock Football.
K-Rock Football, powered by our number one ticket holder, Warren Lilly, Harvey Norman and Subway.
Back here at the MCG, the post-mortem following the Cats' 24-point loss to Hawthorn, 12-13-85. Geelong 8-13-61. Chuck will be back shortly to announce the winner of the KFC Family Burger Box. I can tell you, disappointment for the Geelong Falcons. Been a tough year. They've lost to the Greater Western Victorian Rebels by 35 points today at GMHBA Stadium. 12-10-82. Geelong Falcons 6-11-47. So just the one win for the Falcons in what's been a tough NAB League year, but signs are good for 2020. A lot of talented 17-year-olds as we welcome Renee back from the rooms. Peter, suspension, Ray, nothing to report injury-wise for the Cats other than Mark O'Connor obviously having some sort of dicky quad.
Yeah, and Tom Stewart still looked pretty sore. I just saw him at the rooms briefly, so hopefully that's just bruising or something on the hip, but and nothing structural in that. So, yeah, just the one injury from the game with Jarman Impey from Hawthorn. I didn't see him in the rooms. I'm not sure if Laurie did, but, yeah, didn't see him. So and he didn't return to the bench at all during the game as well. So that's...
Yeah, just from Alistair Clarkson's media conference, we're not certain about Jarman's injury. We've just got to hope when they scan him there's no ACL damage. He's been really important for us this year. We just hope for the best.
Renee, what was the feeling in the Geelong rooms? I mean, there's bad and there's real bad. Did you get the vibe that not panic or, hey, this was actually a pretty bad loss? What was your feeling in there?
Well, by the time we actually got in there from the Hawthorn rooms, there was basically no one left. So Tom Hawkins was doing a little bit of media and Reece Stanley was hanging out with his kids. But other than that, all the players were gone and a couple walked through with their dressed and ready to go. So okay. I think it's... yeah. Back to the drawing board on Monday and evaluate the game and look through it and see what went wrong.
Pretty big 2 weeks now because they're going to Sydney and then you've reported, Kingy's from Sydney straight to Perth, which yep. I know you're doing as well. So, I mean, they're on the road now for 2 weeks. It's time for them to spend a bit of time together, but they've got to regroup quickly.
Absolutely. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what sort of squad they take over to Perth because some, obviously, there'll be some guys not playing VFL next week, what they take to Sydney, and then some will go home. Some of them got families and the like. We'll have a couple of days back in Geelong and then head to Perth on the Tuesday night for training on the Wednesday over in the Perth area. So we'll be all across that at carrollfootball.com.au. Thanks for that, Renee. St John of God Hospital injury updates. Thanks to St John of God Hospital, of course, your emergency department specialist. What's happening? It's pretty tight in the Alice.
Melbourne are making a real fist of it, how brutal this competition is. Melbourne is 16th. on the ladder? Are they coming in? And
yep.
West Coast are third, looking to push up into top two. And the Eagles led by point at half time, 51-50. So that game is really evenly poised. Melbourne having a red hot crack against the Eagles.
I think they were 4 or 5 goals up. Just in that second quarter.
Yeah,
too.
I think 26 points yeah. they got out too. Geelong would love Melbourne to win just to keep that 2-game buffer and percent a handy percentage as well on the Eagles, who sit third on the ladder. So, Brisbane are sitting second and got I think they've got 3 left at the Gabba in their last 5. They're a great story. Like, do you know what we're going to get to see, which is going to be great? Luke Hodge play finals again.
Yep.
That's going to be a
the
lot of
fun. The coach of the St Kilda Football Club.
St Kilda's next coach,
according to Chuck,
Luke Hodge.
We asked him last night. He said that
that's who you go
St
and get.
Kilda
go and get Hodging.
Luke Hodge.
I don't think he's leaving Brisbane.
Go and get him. Malcolm Blight wasn't leaving either. They went and got him. That wasn't a great move.
How did that work out?
Up to the golf
course. How did that work out for you?
Go and get Luke Hodge.
Benny,
Saints.
You're all over the Kerr's Hire stats and the AFL fantasy points from today's game. Of course, AFL fantasy football powered by Telstra.
This is where you come into your own, Benny.
Just
fantasy
some,
points.
Just some key numbers for Kerr's Hire as well as you get the Bratwurst working overtime on the keyboard.
A little sausage fingers out and hitting all the correct buttons, I am, Kingy. I'll just go with this, just unbelievable bit of padding from me.
Yeah, that's what you call it.
Mitch Duncan had 105 fantasy points. He was the only cat to hit triple figures. Joel Selwood next best with 97. Dangerfield, 97. And for the winners, Hawks, Liam Shields, game 200. He had 133. That's a lot of fantasy points. Mm. Yeah, that's a lot of late night.
That's racking them
that's
up.
That's getting home at 3 a.m. sort of fantasy stuff. Daniel Howe, 108. And McAvoy had 97 on the fantasy points. So, and just quickly, real quick potted history of the game. Geelong had 5 fewer inside 50s. They laid 10 more tackles than Hawthorn. They were down 3 in contested possession. They won the clearances by 8. But I can tell you, just looking at the centre clearances actually went 14-7 in favour of the Cats.
14-7?
Yep, Geelong kicked 1-2 from their 14 centre clearances. Hawthorn kicked 1-1-7 from their 7 centre clearances. So the Cats won the centre clearances by 7 and the clearances overall by 8, but it made no difference. Hawthorn had 12 more marks. We heard Tom Hawkins talk about that, and they had 25 more possessions. Dangerfield 27, Duncan 26, Guthrie 24, Shields 29, O'Meara 27, and Warple, the young Geelong Falcon, who's just quietly gone about coming to the system at about pick 8,000 and is already up to, I can tell you today, was the Warpedos. He was playing
28.
His 28th game of AFL footy, so he's just been a real gem of a find for the Hawks later on in the draft. We're going to do the highlights, Kingy, so we might just...
Before we do that...
What's happening?
Can we do the Steamatic Standout?
Oh, we can do anything you like.
Steamatic Standout. Don't panic, call Steamatic. Who have we gone with, gentlemen?
Well, me and Boris have got our heads together here. I'm going to look him in the eye and channel his... And he's going to deliver this, and I think we're on the same page.
I'm sure we are, Mick.
Always.
And I think to celebrate his 200th game.
Exactly. Yeah, perfect.
Liam Shield is the clear Steamatic standout player for the day. I thought he was sensational. And what a great 200 games he's played. Very understated, as you said, even to a point where he doesn't do the toss for the coin. That's how understated he is.
You could tell at the siren, the ball was in his vicinity, that he really was excited to win in such a big
game. And I know Clarkson, he makes a really big special effort and a big deal of milestone games, and someone especially like him, an old Eastern Rangers boy, has come in and played 200 games for the Hawks is a fantastic effort.
Don't panic, call Steamatic, delivering solutions, saving properties, restoring lives in the greater Geelong area for 25 years. Our Steamatic standout is Liam Shields. Geelong Insurance Brokers, head-to-head, how did you see the matchups that you were looking at?
Yeah, so we kept an eye on Mitch Lewis and who went to him. He didn't really have a set matchup all day, such is the way that Geelong defend. He started on Mark Blitzarves, and I thought Blitzarves was Geelong's best, or one of a couple that were really above average today for the Cats. But Mitch Lewis just continued. His stocks continue to grow, and he hit the scoreboard today. He's kicked the 3 snags, Mitch Lewis, including one really late, and so versatile, really enjoying watching him play in the infancy of his career. So that in that matchup, I'll give it to Mitch Lewis because they've had the win, but the Blitz didn't lower his colours too much at all.
Game 150 for Mark Blitzarves. Geelong Insurance Brokers, covering Geelong for 25 years with all types of general business and life insurance. Thank you, Michael Barlow. Benny, highlights, Hamlin Hanger, and our goal of the day, of course, Andy Carroll and the team at Hamlin Hones, proudly Geelong-owned and operated, building itself an outstanding reputation for functional, beautifully finished homes.
There weren't too many highlights for the Cats. We did manage to snaffle one, and the other highlight went to the Hawks. We might start back at HQ, Bryza, with our goal of the day, and it went to the number four. It was a set shot. It was a cracker from way outside 50 in the first quarter at the 15-minute mark, Gary Ablett.
And listen to the crowd when he's got the footy. This might be his last home and away game on the MCG. 52 metres out. Gas hits all of it and kicks the goal of the day.
He did hit it well. He's still got the leg, even at age 74. Gary Ablett, he's unbelievable. And our Hamlin hanger went to a man who dragged down a few. He played a role. He's been playing down back most of the year for the Hawthorn Footy Club. And he's still finding his feet. He's been on the list for quite some time. The number 23, Tim O'Brien, he had 11 possessions. He took 5 marks. And late in the first term, he dragged down our Hamlin hanger. 11 possessions, Kurzweil.
Oh, it's heading to him now. O'Brien launches and takes a Hamlin hanger there. Renee Gehring right in front of it. She put the microphone up and O'Brien jumped over the roof.
Oh,
equally as good. What about that from Lewis who launched? We've had 2 high flies. It's all happening then, Kingy.
It certainly was.
Hamlin hangers were jumping up everywhere.
One hung on to, one through the fingers, but great call, Chuck, of the Hamlin hanger for the afternoon coming from Tim O'Brien. Gee, it's been busy on the Twitter.
Oh, right? It's absolutely blown up. Like, literally, Cat fans getting a little bit frustrated with their team. They are going bereft. Oh, that Cat will be going kicking straight over the fence when most Cat fans get home after today's event.
So if you want to get an idea of what they're saying, Cat fans, on the KFC Twitter, at KROC Football, hashtag AFL Cats Hawks today, just follow our tweet that we put out that just asked, thoughts, Cat fans, and just follow the thread. And you'll be very entertained for a heck of a long time.
Just E&R suggesting, plus uncharacteristically reactive and disorganised defence, turning it over with high-risk decisions, forward entries are random and hopeful at best. Apart from that, just a few tweaks. So, yeah, Cat fans are getting a little restless, it should be said, Kingy, but they'll be back next week against the Swan Dogs.
Up in Sydney from 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon. We'll be there. We'll be here Friday night for an absolute cracker.
Ooh.
Collingwood and Richmond should be an absolute barn burner here at the MCG.
Maggie dropped the ball last night. The Tigers are just lining up their ducks nicely at the business end of the season. So, gee, it's been a great weekend already of football. My mob are starting to cross town against the Doggies. Close game up there in Alice Springs. We had 2 cracking contests last night. Frio kept their chances alive by a point. Brisbane with a controversial decision. If I said this time last year Brisbane will be second on the ladder and Melbourne will be second last, you would have had me committed.
Yeah. Could Brisbane finish on top?
We still might could have you committed.
On the Luke Hodge call yesterday, I still might go in.
Carlton and Adelaide from midday Saturday, we'll have a big pre-game, and then from 2 o'clock Sunday, Sydney and Geelong. We say farewell to some people. We say thank you to Brian Alexander, who's panelled both the wash-up and today's big broadcast of Geelong and Hawthorn. Thank you, BA. Thank you to Laurie Hill, who's heading out the door and taking the trainers back to Geelong.
See you, Pono.
See you, David Collins. See you in Sydney nice and early. Renee, next week, Darabin for the VFLW
yes.
girls. Thank you. Good luck.
Thanks,
thank
Renee.
You.
Talk soon. Darren Buick.
On you, Tommy.
Who you got next week? Development week.
Got a week on golf, yeah. Weekend week. I'm going to Violet Town to watch my son play.
Enjoy Violet that.
Violet Town.
The Lions.
The Lions, they are. Tom, I need baby to it.
In the Kyabram League.
Yes, that's it.
Where have you got?
Frankston at Avalon Airport Oval.
4 points. Benny Cass, enjoy your week.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
See you on the Cat Attack podcast.
Yes. Go, Tommy.
Thanks to Goddings.
Friday night, Kingy, you and I, Richmond and Collingwood.
I'm not on, but you might be.
And you know, who am I remember? It must be Benny and I, is it?
Might be, I don't
know. Coses in Europe.
Geelong lost by 24 points. We're out of here.
All right.
You heard it all up.
KO Referee. Brian Myers sniffs a goal. He sniffs, in fact, the fry pan in the pocket. Fry pan asks Clark, kicks a first goal for the Cats. So Brian lays back and he kicks the first one for the Hawks. So lovely kick in from Bruce. O'Brien marks and kicks the Hawks first. So we're tied up.
And listen to the crowd when he's got the footy. This might be his last home and away game on the MCG. 52 metres out. Gas hits all of it and kicks the goal of the day.
Up she goes, robed nicely off the pack. Snap on goal. Opportunistic. Liam Shields, sensational. Little left footer. It was a nice bit of stoppage work by the Hawks.
And possessions curse high.
Oh, it's heading to him now. O'Brien launches and takes a Hamlin hanger there. Renee Gehring right in front of it. She put the microphone up and O'Brien jumped over the roof.
Oh,
equally as good. What about that from Lewis who launched? We've had two high flies. Goes to half forward. Oh, that's a dangerous fall. Jarman Impey, it's one of those ones. He landed with a stiff leg and he's clutched his knee. Kicks a high bomb. It's made for the high flyers. Oh. High flyers there was. Mitch Lewis came and took a Hamlin hanger 20 metres out directly in front. There's another one out wide. Selwood's got it. He feeds it to Kelly. Kelly runs to 50 metres, chips towards goal. Play of the day. Goal of the day.
Dunstan from 55 out sends it on its way. What a wonderful kick. Gunston with the goal. And the Hawks are now out by 22.
Cats need to find a goal here. Hawkins took it out of the sky. Weaved his way through some heavy traffic. Tomahawk kicks the goal again. Maybe that is the lift Geelong needed. It's a drop punt that's fading. It just sneaks in. He gets the first, as he did in the first quarter. That hurts Geelong. Back of the pack. This is better, Geelong. This is much better. Mitch Duncan's going to just weave his way into a simple goal. By the Western Bulldogs premiership player, kicks an arrow. Straight over the goal umpire's gone. Geelong have three in a row towards Radicalia. Now let's see if he can get a charge at the footy. Gary Rowan three deep. Front of the pack. Reece Stanley needed to stand and he took a nice Hamlin hanger.
He sends it on its way. He starts it left. He fades it right. And he puts it straight over the goal umpire's hand.
Good coaching,
Darren Buick, you are a genius.
Good coaching from the great goal kicker.
Hawkins kicks his second.
Gary Rowan hustled and did well. Evaded a tackler. Handball to Dangerfield. Dangerfield inside the 50 goes to Hawkins. Paddy Dangerfield, the option there was to give it, son. Chewy was streaming right in front of your vision. And dare I say it, Benny, it was a turtle in peanut butter. Puopolo over the top to Mitch Lewis, and this will be the exclamation mark on victory. Bang! It's all over.
So this will be the Cats' biggest loss of season 2019 and their worst performance here at the G since last year's elimination final. They'll go forward from the bounce, but it'll mean nothing. The Hawks will try and get inside 50 as it's palmed away by Brewster Shields. And in game 200 for Liam Shields, the Hawks get a famous victory to keep their season alive. And the Cats have got some questions hanging over them and their credentials when it comes to September. Hawthorn win it by 24 points.
We love our club and we play to win. Riding the pucks with a grin at Hawthorn.
For Signature Homes and City to Surf Solar, the fifth quarter.